you have your Bibles and you want to open up to Exodus 17, 11 through 13, we're going to be continuing on with what we've been learning, that God, with God, all things are possible. Amen? And it's so important for us to remember this when we're dealing with our finances, but really with everything in our life. When you get to a place where you're like, oh, I don't know, is this going to be possible? Is this going to work out? Can this happen? When you say things like that, you should stop and you should bow your head and say, Lord, I'm reminding myself that with you, all things are possible. Amen? I was reminding myself of that this week when I was thinking about this really cool trailer. You know, because the enemy, he doesn't want us to believe for things, right? He wants us to give up. He wants us to quit. So when you get a vision for something, he comes in and he's trying to destroy that vision. You know why? Because if he can get your vision destroyed, if he can bring in doubt and fear, then you're no longer standing in faith, right? So as soon as something is a hiccup, it's, oh, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. No, you're giving up. Amen? So we got to hold on to whatever it is the Lord showed you. Hold on to that and stand in faith, because with God, all things are possible. We've got to dream big. And this one, when I was thinking about this one and praying about this one, this one's a little bit different, because all the ones we've had before, I mean, there is an action that's required, but this action requires someone to come alongside. And sometimes we feel like, you know, this is just me and God, just me and God, just me and God. And there were men in the Old Testament that were just them and God, right? But God places us in a family of believers for a reason. We're not supposed to do everything by ourselves. Sometimes, like the word says, it takes two or more to agree upon something and it's done for them. It doesn't say one by themselves believe and it'll be done for them. So this is scriptural, right? So we need to get the idea that we have to do it all by ourselves and we have to make it all by ourselves out of our thinking. It's okay to need somebody else. Amen? That's why God put us in a family. What if in a family, none of the family members let anybody else help them with anything? How's that family going to function? Well, there's a word for that. It's called dysfunction, right? Because they're not functioning together. Well, we have a lot of dysfunction in the family of God. People trying to do it on their own way. And I think what I love most about this worship night that's coming up is the amount of churches that are willing to participate and collaborate on something. That just does not happen. That is miraculous in this day and age. Most churches want to have their name, their thing, their way. Amen? And that is doing it all by yourself, and it is dysfunctional. We need to be willing to be part of the body of Christ. Amen? So go ahead and let's look at Exodus 17. And it starts in verse 11. Well, actually, this story is that the people of Israel are fighting against an enemy. And the Lord tells Moses, raise your hand up in the air with the staff that I gave you that you struck and the waters parted. Okay, and Joshua is leading the children of God into battle. And so verse 11, right? Yes, verse 11. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that the children of Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Elimelech prevailed. That's the nation. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it underneath him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on one side and the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Elimelech and his people with the edge of a sword. So as long as his hands were raised, they were in victory. But as soon as it started slipping and his hands came down, they started losing. So there's a lot of important things here. First of all, when you're faced with an enemy that looks like it's too big for you, the first action you should take after asking the Lord what he wants you to do with this enemy is to raise your hands. What is this a symbol of? Worldwide. Victory, right? When you see someone going like this, you're like, well, when we all know from the stands, because we can't be down by Luke. But when Luke throws a really good throw and he goes, we all know something great happened, right? I mean, we can see kind of by the length of it, but when he gets his hands in the air, he is at least PR'd, right? Which is a personal record. He's gone beyond. That is something every sport, they do this. Maybe someone's making a business deal, and you don't even think about it. Yes, right? What are they? Victory, right? So we need to do a lot more of this and a lot less of this. You see the difference? One is a victory. The other is a position of defeat. You're curling up, right? Woe is me. It's so sad, right? Curling up into... No. Victory. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because it reminds you, because you can feel that your arms are up. And have you ever tried to keep your arms up for a really long time? If you haven't been working out, it gets sore, right? And you got to put them down a little bit, shake them out a little bit. Your hands go numb maybe, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because it takes what? Strength. You're using your muscles. Not only that, you're using spiritual muscles. Spiritual muscles to remind yourself, my God can do anything. I'm keeping my arms raised. I am praising you, Lord, despite what it looks like. Amen? And then it says this. It says that he got weary in verse 12, or another translation says they become heavy, right? Because he's had his hands up, and I'm sure this wasn't a 10-minute battle. I'm sure this was hours, right? And it says that they took a stone. What does the stone symbolize? The rock on which we stand. The rock on which we stand. The Word of God. You take the Word of God, and you don't sit on it, but you stand on it, right? But it says, he sat on the rock. He sat on the firm foundation. We can stand or even sit on the firm foundation, knowing we can rest on the promises of God that he is faithful to. Amen? And here comes the part that I really want to hit home with. Aaron and Hur supported his hands. Moses couldn't do it on his own. He needed the support of other people to help him keep his hands raised. There are times in our lives when the battle can be so fierce that we need someone to come alongside and to help us. That is what we are for as a family of God. Somebody say amen. We are not made to be lone rangers doing it all by ourselves. When you become a lone ranger, you set yourself up for a target. You set yourself up for a target. Why? Because you start believing everything you're thinking. Because that's the only voice you're hearing, right? When you have something and it's a fight that you're battling, you're, Lord, I'm just seeking you. I'm praying, and it just feels like mud. I don't know. My arms are getting weary. Right? And the whole time he's telling you, call this person, call that person, call that person. He's giving you the people that, no, Lord, I gotta do this on my own. Can I tell you something? He's not gonna tell you to do it on your own. He's not gonna tell you to do it on your own. If he wanted to do it on your own, he wouldn't have put in a family of God. Amen? That is a lie from the pit of hell to do it on your own. Don't do things on your own. Get somebody to agree with you, because when two or more agree upon anything, it will be done for them, right? That doesn't mean you call somebody and you give them your sob story and you focus on all the bad stuff. No, you call someone and say, hey, I need agreement. Can you be my second? Can you agree with me? And sometimes you might even need to get a third person, right? Because he had Aaron on one side and Hur on the other holding up his arms. And as long as his arms were up, he had the victory. Amen? Sometimes spiritually, we get weary. So we need people to come alongside us and help us to keep up the V until the victory happens. Amen? What happened to the Amalek, the country of Amalek? They were destroyed. Not one of them survived. They were destroyed. Amen? Your enemy will be destroyed if you don't give up and you keep the victory mentality. Amen? No more lone rangers. No more doing it by ourselves. Get someone to agree with you so that we can walk in victory. Amen? With God, all things are possible. It is possible for you to have victory in every area of your life. But sometimes it may require that you have someone on your right and someone on your left. And that's all right. That's what the body is for. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for this word today. We praise you for this word. Lord, I pray that when we're doing our finances, if we reach a point, Lord, where it's like, man, I'm just not breaking through with this. It's just not working. Help us to grab someone on our right and someone on our left to agree with us in prayer for victory. And then I pray, Father, that we would literally put our hands in the air as an action of faith that says, God, I choose to look at the victory in this. I choose to praise you in advance for the victory for this. And God, I pray we would not do things on our own. Help us to remember, God, you have placed us in a family of believers for a reason. We're there for each other. We've got our backs and our fronts and the sides. God, we've got each other. We just need to let each other do that. And Father, I pray for each person in here today, Father, that you would provide someone for their right and their left, for the moments that they need that person, and help us to be the person that stands on the right and the left for someone else. Help us to be there for them. And God, I praise you and I thank you that we're going to have a family mentality that is a functioning family mentality, not a dysfunctional family, but a functional family of God that can help each other to see the plans and the purposes of God fulfilled in each of our lives. Bless every seed that is sown today. Bless the sower, a hundredfold harvest. We thank you, Father, that every need for the youth worship night is going to be provided for, Father. We call in this amazing stage that we've been made aware of. We thank you, Lord, for moving on the hearts of this ministry, God, and help it to be even a door that we can help minister with them later on. And Father, I just thank you for each of the souls, Lord, that you want to be saved that night during the worship night. I thank you, Father, that they are saved, set free, and set on fire for you, God. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for every person in this room, Lord, to experience your blessing and your peace this week over their finances especially. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would say to us today. We thank you for the wonderful things you're doing in the United States of America, Father God. And we dedicate these weeks to come toward prayer for our nation, as we just had the National Day of Prayer this past week, as we've got Memorial Day later this month, Mother's Day and Father's Day over the family. We bind the devil off of the month of June, claiming it for what he calls Pride Month, and the upcoming 4th of July celebration. We dedicate this time to you. We dedicate this nation to you. We dedicate your church to you. And we reclaim any lost ground for the kingdom of God, including the great Northwest. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I was doing on Saturdays, I like to do, for about the past couple of years, I've been doing a little time to go into the Torah study with the Rabbi Joseph Shulam and his YouTube presentation, just study whatever the daily allotment is of the Torah. And one of the things that jumped out at me yesterday, and I see things prophetically in it that they don't talk about. And when you hear someone teaching things, you know, doesn't mean you agree or understand everything that you're hearing, but you're feeding on it, you know. And one of the things that jumped out at me yesterday was it talked about the priest. And the priest was sprinkling oil to the west because the west is where the Holy of Holies is in the temple. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm giving power, anointing, breakthrough to the west. So don't be calling this the left coast. Let's call it Jesus loves Portland. Jesus loves Vancouver. Jesus loves Washington, Oregon, California. Let's believe God for the fires of revival. And I think what we're seeing in our kids, you know, in this region, the move of God that's happening in Clark County and our surrounding areas where youth are coming to Jesus. I mean, there's Mormon kids that are coming, that one a whole family came and got baptized. Right? It's a mighty wave of the Spirit, right? And the term the red wave, who's ever heard the term the red wave, right? And I was praying to, you haven't heard that term, the red wave? Yes. Right. Well, think of it as the blood of Jesus. Amen. But our flag is red, white, and blue, right? And the red blood that was shed. I want to really spend time this month remembering in the next several weeks, honoring those who gave it all. And that's what this picture is up here. It's black and white, so it's a little bit hard to tell, but that's the Liberty Bell right there. And that's, as I was praying and seeking God about where to focus for the next several weeks, I really felt a drawing back to our nation, right? This period of heading into Memorial Day and into 4th of July, really pressing in, keeping our foot on the devil's neck and our foot on the gas in the spirit realm, and be praying and interceding, but really thinking about honoring those who gave their lives. This picture right here was taken, you can see that this is right off the internet, Mayor Bernard Samuel of Philadelphia in a rehearsal for the D-Day bell ringing, May 16th, 1944. The mayor of Philadelphia went in with a special mallet and hit the bell seven times. LIBERTY. While these men, if you've ever seen Saving Private Ryan, while that was happening, this is a remarkable nation that we live in. When you think about just back then, the Jews that were being brutally tortured and murdered, treated like animals, right? And all the crazy stuff that the devil was trying to do on our planet, and how God used this nation, say this nation, God used this nation to literally bring liberty to the world. Glory to God. Amen. And we're going to celebrate that and talk about it. And there may be a guest or two that comes in, and I'm working on it, that will come in and share some things in the next couple of months. Right? But this is going to carry us into the first week of July, and I'm excited about it. And that, of course, we got Mother's Day and Father's Day and probably a Mission Sunday in there too. But we're on a track with Jesus is what I'm saying, right? And the foundation text for this series is going to be Leviticus 25, verse 10, which is what is on the Liberty Bell, right? This may not be the only picture that I use. This one will probably come back on Memorial Day. But that scripture is written on the bell itself, right? And it's this. Well, in your notes, it's the highlighted portion that's actually on the bell. But, I mean, talk about, you know, again, let's just pause for a moment. People that would say our founding fathers were agnostics or didn't believe in God, that's a straight-up lie, man. How many know if you think of a scripture in Leviticus? Man, that's not everybody just thinks of Leviticus if they're a surface level Christian, right? Well, here's the scripture. It says, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year." Now, this is huge. How many, what, let me just ask you this. On July 4th, 2026, 2026, what age does our country turn? 250. This is a huge thing. I mean, with God, we have portals of time that are just, there's like an extra dose of the ghost on it. And so to know that the Trump administration is going to be in office for the next 4 years, which includes 250. This is huge. This tells me God has not given up on this nation. Hallelujah. Right? But we're gonna be talking about some of this stuff, right? And this is the scripture that they chose to put on the bell. That's the point, right? He shall hallow the 50th year, and here we go. These are the specific words on the bell. And proclaim liberty. Everybody say proclaim liberty throughout all. Does that include Multnomah County? Yes. Does that include L.A.? Sacramento, Olympia, blue states. It includes all, right? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants. Just the white people? No. Just the black people? No. Just the Hispanics? Just the Asians? Just people that are on the streets? Just the rich? Anyone but a Jew? Somebody say all. All means what? All, right? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee. Say jubilee. That's the big word right there, jubilee. The 50th year. And if you read in the Old Testament, and how many know the whole Bible? I asked Joseph Shulam once when I was a children's minister. We had breakfast together with him and a couple of pastors. And I was a children's minister. And, you know, I just want to ask, when you're with people like that, I like, Lord, give me something to ask them. What nugget do, instead of just talking with them or being goofy around them, you know. And I said, sir, what should I be teaching the children? You know what he said? Teach them the whole Bible. He's like, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are part of the Bible. Christian churches shouldn't just be talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and, you know, somebody say the whole Bible. That's why we just did a series on the Ten Commandments. We need the entirety of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And what a joy. Hallelujah. I was going somewhere with that. It'll come. Somebody say, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Jubilee, that's what I'm talking about. That's the word. When you read through the Old Testament and it talks about the Jubilee year, every 50 years was a time of liberty. So everybody would forgive all the debts. Now, I'm not talking about this nationally. You should be expecting this personally. A forgiveness of debts, a deliverance, setting the captives free. It's just amazing stuff to think about. And what are we seeing right now? I'm talking about, this is not faith, I'm talking about right now. In this nation, one of the things that thrills me is that there is a department now called the Department of Government Efficiency. They just found, I don't remember, this past week, if you just follow it, they found like another, I don't know, $1 billion going to some nation for some random goofy thing. They're saving you money. What's that sound like? Somebody say, jubilee. Supernatural things that God is doing that the devil tried to stop. And let us not forget, as we approach July 13th this year, what the devil tried to do July 13th last year. Assassinate Donald Trump. And he failed. I mean, none of this stuff, you guys, we have to just come back to Jesus and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you imagine if this election had gone the other direction? I mean, how low can you go? But Jesus, somebody say, Jesus is my jubilee. Glory to God forevermore, right? But as I was praying about this, I was like, Lord, what aspect of this do you want me to focus on? What aspect of this honoring our nation? And I just felt drawn to the Liberty Bell. And I did some research on it. And we might be hearing, in weeks to come, we might be hearing little sound bites from wall builders. David Barton, Andrew Barton. Andrew, is it Andrew? I don't think that's right. David? Tim. Thank you. I think I get Andrew Womack. Thank you, Lacey. Those are great men of faith, right? Rick Green, Gene Bailey, you know, the Flashpoint, Victory News. This one I found just searching. This is a broadcast that I located that I really liked, and it was called Faith and Freedom. If you look it up on YouTube, Faith and Freedom broadcast. This one had Dr. Peter Lilback, I think that's how you pronounce it, Lilback on there. And he was being interviewed, and he was talking specifically about the Liberty Bell and four different types of liberty that the Liberty Bell represents. And I thought, there's the sermon. See how quick I learned? So I may sound like a scholar, but I'm studying, right? And there's more to learn. But what I try to find when I'm studying stuff is not all the fluff around it, but what's the nuggets that God wants to emphasize for us today. Like, I found some videos that were like, the myths regarding the crack. You know, it's cracked. Y'all know, right? The Liberty Bell has got a crack. And they were like trying to uncover the myths of how the bell was cracked, you know? And it's like, that's really not what I want to be focusing on, is myths. And the what ifs, and the why did the bell crack? The devil likes to get people focused on all these. He's a sideshow, smoke and mirrors devil. No, I want to get to the heart behind this and uncover and unearth. I also love researching biblical archaeology, right? Where they're unearthing. That's why the terrorists want to destroy Israel. Part of it is because they know they're destroying proof in the ground that this book is true, right? That's why he wants to destroy the Jews, because the Jews, I heard Pat Robertson's son say this. He said one of the reasons why the devil hates the Jews is because they are proof that there is a God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so are you. And somebody's saying, so am I. I'm born again. I'm a witness of the resurrection power of Jesus. But let's look at this. Four different types of liberty that the Liberty Bell reminds us of. Somebody say, this is a reminder. How many know Americans, Christian Americans, whatever nationality we are, if you're an American and you're a Christian, you need reminders of where we came from. There's a cemetery out in Dundee, Oregon, full of live and good remains. And all I really knew was my grandparents. But there's a Levi and there's a Scott. And dad knows, it just goes back and back, like to the 1800s. And that's not very far when you think about it. I was watching an old TV show called Have Gun, Will Travel. Who's ever heard of that? Shelley and I rediscovered that. Actually, just we've never seen it before. Heard about it, but we found it, and we just love the show. But there was an actress in it in one of the shows yesterday, 95 years old. In 1950 or whatever it was, when they were making the show, and there was a little blurb on there, little thing you can search out and read about. And they said she was born, I think it was 2 years after the Civil War. There were people on planet Earth back in the 50s that were here during the Civil War. It's amazing to think about such things. But yet, we have a hard time nowadays thinking much past our parents, and the devil is now, even if you haven't noticed, wanting to destroy people's relationship with their own parents, and even question their parents, and even question their own gender. There's children growing up now out there, outside these doors, just up the street, growing up in homes with two moms or two dads and being lied to that these are your parents. You see the devil's plan? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why Christians, I'm talking to Christians now, you in this room and those who are listening to this later, that we need reminders of who we are, where we came from. And this bell, I'm telling you, is a reminder. Hallelujah. You know, they had to hide it for a winter Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I got to follow the notes here, okay? Sequence. My mentor, Scott Sigmund, would say, Steve, scope and sequence. I liked that as the creative guy of this run. He'd like, yeah, Steve, that's great, but scope and sequence. Work from a list. Horse blinders, right? Praise God for people he brings into our life, right? Okay, the first type of liberty, everybody say the first type of liberty, that the Liberty Bell reminds me of is biblical liberty. How do we know that? Because there is a Bible verse on it. Leviticus 25, verse 10 is inscribed on the bell. Somebody say, ding dong. That ought to ring your bell. Oh, there is a Bible verse on the bell. Biblical liberty. When the bell first got here, it was delivered from London. It cracked upon its first ring. We'll get into more. And again, you can look up the Faith and Freedom broadcast. It's about a 10-minute clip. Just look up Faith and Freedom broadcast on the Liberty Bell on YouTube. So it cracked when they first got here. And so there were these two young mechanics named Pass and Stowe. If you've ever seen, what's the Nicolas Cage movie? National Treasure. Love those movies. That's one of the things he looks at is, oh, Pass and Stowe. And like these little nuggets from that movie. You know, you do. You get nuggets sometimes, right? But they took the bell and they fixed it. They melted it back down and repaired the crack, you know, so that they can continue to use it. So somebody say biblical liberty. That's the first thing. And Leviticus 25, verse 10 reminds us of that. Why was that so important? Because they were used to this thing called tyranny. Right? And God is now Jubilee, and that's why they said, we are looking for Jubilee, man. Freedom from religious or, you know, biblical tyranny. You tell us how to have church. There's people right now in this land who think you should not be allowed to preach on things like abortion and homosexuality, and will take your tax exemption or whatever. They want to rule stuff out of the Bible. And it's not okay. This bell should be a reminder of that. Somebody say biblical liberty, right? And then number two, religious liberty. This particular, when they had the bell made, William Penn had this document. You can look up the document. It was on religious liberty. There's actually a specific title to it. But William Penn's religious liberty document. And this was the 50-year celebration, or the Jubilee, which is why they put Leviticus 25, verse 10 on it, because this was the 50th year of religious liberty. 1701, that document was written, and this was 1751 when the bell was made. The Charter of Privileges, there's the name of it. Charter of Privileges that gave religious liberty. They were done with this thing called tyranny. And how many know we as a nation still need to be pushing back on any kind of tyranny? Did you notice any kind of tyranny trying to press in on us in 2020? Boy, yeah. Resistance is futile. We'll arrest you. They were even telling people, the governor of Oregon put out a statement during the holidays. How many know the radical left and liberal people, a lot of them, hate the family? Hate Christianity? And they put out an announcement back during the holidays back then. If you have any more than 10 people at your house for Christmas or Thanksgiving, call the police and report your own neighbors. Tyranny. You know, strip clubs are open. Weed stores are open. But don't you dare go to church. Costco's open, but don't you dare go to church. Somebody say tyranny. And we should be pushing back on that. And praise God, I heard a great praise report this week from a police officer friend of ours. How many know Portland has issues? But we're believing God to break through. And businesses have been leaving Portland because of all the vandalism and crazy drug stuff. Well, guess what I heard? There's a building right across the river, right in the middle of the mecca of the hub of all the mess, that was a strip club, and it went out of business. And guess who just bought it and is putting a business in there? This company called Chick-fil-A. Running to the city. I told my friend, I was like, that's a renewal, man. That's a jubilee thing. Glory to God tell him that, but the jubilee part's just coming to me. It's like these are breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in business, godly businesses coming into a place that was the devil's, nest, and just cleaning it up. And now, guess who's going to come back to those places? Families. Business. This is signs of jubilee happening right here. Amen. Number three, political liberty. That it reminds us of, the Liberty Bell. July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was released. And on July 8th, there was a public reading in Philadelphia. And the bell was rung on that day. Somebody say, read the Declaration of Independence. You'll see a lot of similarities for what the same spirit we're dealing with right now. Amen? And this is what we're talking about. After the Declaration of Independence, the British had some victories, and they had to literally remove statues and bells from the area. Why? Because they were melting them down to make musket balls and cannonballs, the British were. So they took the bell out, and they went to a church in Allentown, and they hid the bell in a basement of a church for a whole winter. These are interesting little tidbits, right? Why? Because the enemy was thinking they were going to win, and they needed more ammo. It wasn't because they hated the Liberty Bell. It's because we need musket balls and cannonballs, right? This is interesting stuff. So what can we take away from that? Well, the devil ought not be able to take churches and melt them down and use them for his own trash. Somebody say, get the bell out of the basement. Ring loud and true for Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Amen. And then the final thing, for personal civil liberty. This is amazing, right? Freedom from enslavement. That bell reminds us, freedom from enslavement, which would include human trafficking nowadays, right? The abolitionists, did I say that right? Abolitionists, those who wanted to end slavery, right? This is years after now, because the bell, back it up a little bit, the bell cracked again, ringing for a funeral of a Supreme Court Justice, John Marshall, in 1835. They kept using it. Bong, bong. They were just so excited. I love Kenneth Copeland talking about it. It just rang until it broke, right? Well, the Supreme Court Justice, who was a wonderful justice, I think he was our third Supreme Court Justice, at his funeral they rang it, and it cracked again. They kept using it, though. And then in 1846, on George Washington's birthday, it was the final bong. Right? It broke again. Only this time the crack was so severe that they knew if they kept ringing, it was just going to bust apart. So they discontinued using the bell, and it just got put away, got set aside. That's pretty cool, though. Huh? The last time it was actually used, Washington's birthday, in that manner, right? Hallelujah. Became too fragile to continue to use the crack. Even in this broadcast, they show you the crack is, you can see the visible crack, how big it is, but it's actually even smaller. It goes right through the word liberty. And that's symbolic, right? So later, closer to the Civil War period, the abolitionists, tell me, Lacey, how do I say this? Abolitionists? Thank you. I really need the help. Abolitionists. Did I spell it right? I didn't even spell it right. The abolitionists took the bell on tour. Somebody say, they remembered. They remembered. And they took it all throughout the land saying, we need to end slavery, and here's why. This is who we are. Glory to God. Isn't that marvelous? And it should still remind us today that slavery of any kind is evil, whether it's racism or sex trafficking or whatever, you know, all these cartels, these leaders, judges now we're talking to. There's going to be this, I guarantee you, there will be a sermon on judges. Judges that want to, oh no, don't take that guy back that, you know, is trafficking people and selling drugs. Bring him back and bring him back now. That is straight up evil. Evil. They need to remember. Somebody say, remember. Recall. Let the bell ring in your head. Right? Amen. So they took the bell on the road. And guess what? These people, these abolitionists, what was I saying? Abolition. I guess it is an abolition. It's a revolution. These abolitionists are the ones who named it the Liberty Bell. Glory to God. Amen. Aren't these marvelous things, right? So since the Liberty Bell, this is what, you know, I learned again from Dr. Peter Lilback. Hope I'm saying that right. He can say living good if he wants, I guess. Since the Liberty Bell doesn't ring anymore, we have to ring out for it. This is a direct quote. We have to ring it out by what we teach. We need to preserve liberty. It's suspended over a crack. We need to protect it. Hallelujah, right? The bell is the second most well-known symbol of America after the flag, he says. The bell had a story. The bell had a story that God intended to tell through the ages. Somebody say amen. And that brings us to the final point here. Actually, I'm gonna play this for you real quick before we do that. This is something really cool that I found. And I'll just hold it up to my mic. But the sound of liberty on D-Day. This is again back to our image up here. There have been several occasions in which the Liberty Bell was struck and the sound was recorded. One very special occasion was on D-Day, June 6th, 1944. Another good reason that we're doing this right now, right? To remember the blood that's been shed throughout the ages. But that was a major thing, right? They all were. Forgive me, Lord, right? Don't want to dishonor anyone's blood, even if it was one person. But man, the world was, I mean, literally, the world would have literally gone to hell in a handbasket if the Germans and all that stuff had gone, the Nazis, you know, all the stuff they were doing to people, right? So D-Day. One very special occasion this bell was rung was on D-Day, June 6th, when the Liberty Bell was struck by Philadelphia Mayor Bernard Samuel 7 times. Praise God for godly mayors. Mayors that get it. Right? He struck the bell 7 times, 1 time for each of the letters in the word liberty. In a nationwide broadcast to announce the Allied invasion. Now remember, back then they didn't have social media. Nobody knew what was going on. Right? It was secret. Right? To announce the Allied invasion of Europe on the beaches of Normandy, France. The broadcast is courtesy from WIP CBS Radio. And this is a 1-minute clip, and I just want you to hear this.
Today is D-Day, destined to go down in history as one never to be forgotten, for it's heralded the beginning of liberation for the countless millions of enslaved peoples throughout German-dominated Europe. And to those millions, the landings of the Allied troops spell the precious words of liberty. Standing as a symbol of our priceless freedom through the years is the American symbol of liberty, the Liberty Bell in Independence Hall, Philadelphia. Silent through the years, this bell once more peals out the strokes of liberty to symbolize the day of liberation for the enslaved peoples from Independence Hall in Philadelphia. WIP brings to its listeners the seven strokes of liberty from the world-famed Liberty Bell.
Man, that doesn't give you chills. That was the mayor of Philadelphia ringing the bell with that mallet on D-Day. Remarkable. Glory to God. And so it's a memorial, right? For the cost of liberty. The cost of liberty. We cannot dishonor the blood of Jesus, number one, but also for the men, the soldiers. I know there's been women, of course, as well in recent years, but the men, or the families that dealt with losing a son, losing a father, an uncle, right? Growing up without a dad, whatever. Just that it's not in vain what they laid their life down for. And that we will continue to stand for that liberty. Amen? It's a reminder. Somebody say reminder, right? But the United States will turn 250 years old on July 4th, 2026. But I would propose this to you. Let's start celebrating now, because Jesus is our jubilee ultimately. But there is in God's calendar these things called portals, where it's just a special time. And I believe that portal begins midnight, July 5th this year. When it turns to July 5th this year, I believe we step into that jubilee year, because every day going forward is the 250 until it culminates on July 4th, 2026. But you're literally entering into that. It's the entire year. Because when we do complete that, then now you're going into the 251st year. You understand what I'm saying? This is a supernatural time that we are in, and we need to expect that spirit to manifest in our personal lives, in our businesses, in our homes, in our families, in our ministries, in our communities, and just stay with it in the spirit. Somebody say, get out there in the spirit. Now, we're also in the season of Pentecost, which also means 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. I believe this year it's Sunday, June 8th, right in this same time that we are in. These are supernatural things, right? Pentecost reminds us of the Holy Ghost coming into that upper room, the power of God being poured out, the boldness of God coming on his people, supernatural signs and wonders. Some would say it ceased when the apostles, you know, the original apostles passed away, but that is a lie from the devil. Right? The Holy Ghost did not pass away. The book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost working through his people, the apostles, right? And how many of you are his people? So he's still here to work with us, through us. Amen. But look, I want to read to you as we close and pray 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 18. Because it has to do with this time of Pentecost, which has everything to do with our liberty. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory. Say the glory. This is a time of the glory of God coming in, where his mercy Have you ever been in a thunderstorm where the thunder and lightning happened at the same moment? Woo, that wakes you up. I remember seeing it one time. I was in my apartment. Shelly and I were newlyweds back then. And I was looking out the window over a baseball field. It's so cool. God's always put me near a baseball field. Literally, our deck looked over a baseball field. And I'm just watching, and all of a sudden, wham! And I mean, the whole place shook. And I saw the lightning strike the ground simultaneously with the loudest thunder I've ever heard in my life. We are entering a time, and I think we're already seeing it, where the judgment and the mercy of God are happening simultaneously. Mercy for his people and judgment on people who hate him. Man, it's time to be on his side. I'll tell you what. That's one thing that Joseph Shulam said. He was telling us a story. I think it was the story of Naaman, the man who had the dip in the water. And he was talking about how the king of Syria or whatever sent a message to the king of Israel, and they were very intimidated. And he said, it's just like that now. He said, if the president of the United States calls us, we jump. Right? If God says something, we ought to act now. Somebody say, act now. Believe now. Have faith now. No matter how it looks or how it feels. Amen? The face of Moses, because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit, say the ministry of the Spirit, not be more glorious? How are things getting out there? Somebody to say, more and more glorious. More and more glorious. Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So as we proceed, church, family of God, are we going to get less involved, less interested in Jesus? Or are we going to get more and more into what? Somebody say more and more. Benny Hinn, again, this past week, he was teaching a message at Andrew Womack's Bible College. And he said, you have to watch about not growing cold to Jesus. He said, when someone is sick, what's one sign that they're sick? They lose their appetite. So he said three things. He said, if you lose your appetite for God, then your faith begins to waver. You'll start questioning the Bible. And then third, he said, your love for God grows cold. So he said, the first thing to watch is your appetite. Somebody say, I'm hungry. Stay hungry. How do you stay hungry when you just keep winning and winning? And ask any championship team that won the Super Bowl. You have to stay hungry. Rocky needed the eye of the tiger. Remember that? He was the champ, and he got lazy, and he got, like Mick said, he got the worst thing that could ever happen to a fighter. He got civilized. And Apollo, you may not know what I'm talking about. Apollo comes and trains him and helps him to find the eye of the tiger. Greatest rock song ever written, in my opinion. It's the eye of the tiger, the eye of faith. Stay in love with Jesus. Stay hungry. Don't do things. Listen to things. Go places. Think things that take away your appetite for the things of God. Somebody say, be on guard. That's what he's talking about, that crack that goes to liberty. Liberty is very fragile. Needs to be protected. Amen. For even what was made glorious had no glory in respect because of the glory that excels. Oh man, there is excelling glory coming. It's going to excel the curse. It's going to excel the national debt. It's going to excel the liberal radical Marxist left. It's going to excel any issues in our bodies. It's going to excel our finances. It's going to excel everything we're believing for. Hallelujah. Somebody say, let freedom ring. Verse 11, for if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Oh man, God has got more. I love how President Trump is calling this the golden age. I love things that are coming out of that man. He's a human being, yes, absolutely. But stuff that he's saying and doing are remarkable. Remarkable. And those around him and his cabinet, we just need to continue to hold them up in our prayers. Hallelujah. And we pray right now also by the Holy Ghost for the next pope that is being selected for the Catholic Church, that he will be a godly man, a conservative man, who values life and liberty and morality. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen. Amen, right? For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, that bell should remind us we always have hope in God. We use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel, how many know covering up our beliefs and values is no longer an acceptable way? It's not business as usual in the church. Take the veil off. Somebody say, take the veil off. Get the bell out of the basement. Take it on tour, man. Right? Take it to Fishback Stadium, right? Amen. Worship night. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Somebody say, stay in Christ, right? Verse 15, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. What does that mean? That means Jews specifically, who think it's all Moses and the Old Testament, we need to pray for Israel to be saved, that they become Messianic Jews. They don't have to stop being Jews, just be Messianic Jews. They recognize Christ is your Messiah. That takes the veil off of their minds. That's what's so cool about, from a born-again perspective, reading Torah portions and listening to a Messianic rabbi, because stuff will light up, and they're not even saying. And you'll be like, oh, wow, look at this. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, wow, look at this. Amen. But even so to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, somebody say, turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Have you seen a nation turning to the Lord? Have we seen college campuses, Auburn, I heard recently, turning to the Lord? Have we seen businesses turning? Have we seen cities? Somebody say, stay on it. Stay in that attitude of intercession and praying, binding the devil. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Verse 17, here we go. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Or in this version says liberty. But yes, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. Bong, bong. What's a bell do? It wakes us up. It's a rally cry. It's a warning. And it's a reminder. It's a gathering sound. And we need to hear it in the spirit realm. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Glory to God. When does that stop, Pastor Steve? When you get to heaven. And I believe when we get to heaven, we'll still be learning stuff. We'll just be in way better shape than we are now, right? The transforming process. How many know you're saved, but your flesh and your mind are being saved? So we've got to be committed to the process, right? Into the same image. They had to melt that thing down 3 times. And it still cracked. But, somebody say, but, It's a reminder that we have liberty in Christ Jesus, and He is our jubilee, He is our freedom, and no matter how it looks or how it feels or if it can't even make any noise anymore, it still resounds in the Spirit, doesn't it? Contend for liberty. Not just for you, and now in our present time, be a voice, be a bell tone, be a loud gong for those who have no voice. Children, the unborn. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. For we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Somebody say, glory to glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit. Always remember, it's by the Spirit. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not you earning anything. We believe and we obey and we listen and we stay in tune with Jesus and we linger in His presence. And He, somebody say, He's the one. That's what's just so remarkable to me about this time that we are in. Who else could have done that? Who else could have had that man turn his head a fraction of an inch while a bullet is whizzing toward his head? Who else could have done that? And that's just one, that's just one example. Glory to God. Who else could have put a team like this together that's actually holding the government accountable? This is remarkable, these times that we're in, and we're going to continue to stand, amen? So why don't we stand then, and we'll pray. We got some partying to do. Thank you for lingering with me. Somebody say, Jubilee! Jubilee! Glory to God, freedom, liberty, the breaking of the power of the enemy, canceling of debts, restoration of properties and families and ministries and businesses, all these seven mountains of societal influence, we release that jubilee spirit that's on this administration even. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I receive it today. Jesus, thank you for being our jubilee. We speak that freedom and liberty over our nation, over our military, over our president, vice president, representatives, senators, judges, mayors, school boards, teachers, coaches, Hollywood, entertainment, arts and entertainment, media, families, ministries, churches, religion. We speak that jubilee spirit of God, that the faces, that the minds would be unveiled on this nation and they would see more clearly who Jesus is and turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Just like our president on July 13th just slightly turned his head and it saved his life by a miracle of God. We pray in the spirit realm that that is happening to thousands and millions of people in this land and across this world. Liberty, like George Washington said, is for everyone, not just for Americans. But there is a turning to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I turn to you, Lord. And I turn from sins. I turn from unrighteousness. I turn from darkness. And I turn to the light, to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we'll let that bell ring long and true in our hearts and in our minds and out through our lives. That call to gather to Jesus. That call to come running home. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.